Hi everybody, and welcome to part 5 in the series called The Condition of the Heart. We're going to look at what it is to watch over our hearts today with all diligence and the importance of that. As we looked at in part 4, that understanding starts in the heart. So with that in mind, it's imperative that we watch over our heart with all diligence, as Proverbs 4:23 teaches us. It says this: watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Out of the heart comes the wellspring of life, these springs of life. So why is it that we have to watch over our hearts with all diligence? As I've just said, it's because out of the heart comes these springs of life. Life is to flow forth in an abundant measure from our hearts. Not any life, but this eternal life that we were created for and we were called to demonstrate. As followers of Jesus, having his eternal life in us, it is to come forth out of us. So it must be guarding of our heart what we allow in and what we don't allow in. With the heart being the place of understanding and life, it's imperative we watch over what we allow in. If we receive life, then life will come forth as a consequence. But if we receive death and allow death in, then death will come forth as a consequence. Just as the truth makes us free, if we receive the truth, the lie keeps us in bondage in death if we receive it. So it's very imperative that we allow the right thing in and stop the wrong thing from entering us. And we see this reality in the scriptures in relation to sowing of the tares into the field, Matthew 13:24-30. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." We will not allow the good seed in, the word of God. "But while this man was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat," bad seed, "and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also." What we allow in will grow, whether truth or lie. "The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No. For while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barns.'" You can see what you allow in will grow and will have an impact on your life, whether for the positive or the negative, whether life or death. So it's imperative we only allow in the good seed and say no to the bad seed, which is death. The Father sows the truth because he is the Father of truth, while Satan, the father of lies, sows lies. And if we're not discerning with all spiritual diligence, then it becomes very easy to receive and believe the lie, causing death on the inside of us. This death is darkness, and the scriptures say, if the light that is within us is darkness, how great, in fact, is that very darkness? We have to be able to discern the difference between what sounds like truth and isn't, but it's truth dressed up as a lie. And this is a worry for a follower of Jesus if darkness is coming forth from you, because this is an indication of your true spiritual state of being in the innermost place. Even though you're covered by love, what's coming forth from within you is still flesh, darkness. And we can all be justified, as I said, by his blood, but on the inside of us still be full of ourself, be full of I, be full of me, be full of lust, and need our lust satisfied. And so we have our own beliefs, we have our own thoughts, which are not of God, and they keep us in a state of darkness and bondage, which we manifest out. So instead of an eternal life being manifest, it's very much an earthly life, which is no good to anybody. And this all relates to the eyes of the heart not being clear, but being full of darkness, which is why we must watch over our heart with all due diligence. And here are the verse that relates to this, Matthew 6:22-23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. It's talking about the eyes of your heart. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Yes, it's fully possible to be a follower of Jesus, and the light in you is full of darkness. The lies the enemy sows are not obvious and are extremely close to being the truth. Now, the Bible says he's going to come back as an angel of light and that Jesus is the light of the world. So we must be able to discern the difference, because if we can't, we're going to allow the lie in and keep us in bondage. Once again, this is why we need to be spiritually discerning in the matters of God and watch and what we allow in to our hearts, our innermost being place. Now, the enemy will use even scripture, but out of context, to lead us astray. And we see this happen in Matthew 4:6. It says, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, so Satan says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Now we need to remember that the Satan's weaponry is deception, lies, and temptation. And Satan is the master at this deception and trickery. Then we need to be the masters of truth. We need to be the masters of Christ as students. Know Christ, know his words, which are truth, spirit, and life. Luke 6:40, a pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his master. And when I say truth, I mean the person, Jesus himself, and his words, which are spirit and life, the word of God that comes forth from the word of God. We are talking about coming to know the living word through the revelation of the spirit and not human learning through our own understanding. Now, as we continue to receive what is life, Jesus himself and his living words, then these rivers of life flow from us continuously. Notice the springs of life flow from us. We are not flowing towards them, but they flow forth from us. The living from is very different from the living towards. The living from a reality of Sabbath rest, which we enter into through revelation and then abide in him. There is no struggling or trying or working really hard to grasp this way of being, because we have entered into this new way of being and living, and it just is. And it's what Hebrews 4:10 talks about when it says, for the one who has entered his rest, Christ's rest, has himself all rested from his works as God did from his. And Sabbath rest is highly active, but it doesn't mean we're working from the flesh. As we become a watchman or a watchwoman of our own hearts, otherwise known as our own gardens, we are diligent and wise what we come into and what we come into an agreement with, only accepting and receiving the word of God, the word of truth. Everything else gets bundled up and put together in one place, ready to be disposed of and incinerated by fire. So we need to watch over our heart with all diligence, because from it flow the rivers of life. So questions, how would you describe what watching over your own heart is with diligence? Why is living from his truth so different from living towards it? Why is it that the light in us can actually be darkness? 4, are we able to discern the difference between truth and what sounds like truth? Explain your reasoning for this. And 5, how has watching over your own heart empowered his life to be formed in you? So I pray you're getting a lot out of this series. This is the 5th part. We'll look forward to you for number 6. Take care.